I've confessed to you many times that I am a head Christian. My love for God plays out in my life as study, reading. I like watching specials on PBS and the Discovery Channel, hearing about the life and times of Jesus and other people in my faith story. I love reading good books and good poetry and watching good movies and figuring out what I can understand of God in those things. On the other hand, I have friends and mentors and teachers who absolutely love Jesus, like out loud, not in their heads. Like, I see it, I know it, I feel it. And I know I'm not supposed to use God and Jesus totally interchangeably, but I'm going to today. I'm not supposed to, because there's all the absolutely one substance, indivisible but separate beings thing. And my being a Christian in my head even extends to the crazy hard doctrine of the Trinity. I try to make sense of it, but for today, forget all that. We're just talking about Jesus and God as though it's one thing. But I digress, sorry. So I have people in my life and people that I observe in public who clearly love God, love Jesus. I describe one of my friends as Jesus walking in tennis shoes. I have always told our pastor emeritus, Reverend Elder Ken Martin, that I believe God comes down from heaven and walks with him in the evening to get his opinion on how things are going. I know people who it is clear love God above everything else in their life. They consult with Jesus on every major decision. They give thanks constantly to God. They love Jesus more than anything. And then there's me. Me with my books and my documentaries and my Marcus Borg and Rachel Held Evans. And there is a small matter of my vocation. I should be one of those people who love Jesus more than anything. But then there's my wife and my kids and those grandbabies and Mama, I know you're watching. I just feel wholly inadequate sometimes when it comes to loving Jesus. Well, and that's not even the whole of it. It's changed a little bit. I used to feel wholly inadequate when it comes to loving Jesus. And then I went to seminary. What happened when I went to seminary is not probably what you're thinking. It wasn't the study. It wasn't the immersion. I was sitting in my New Testament Greek class one day when, right in the middle of a lecture about Jesus and the disciples and devotion and all of that, my professor said, "I love my kids more than I love Jesus. I love my kids more than I love Jesus." Just like that. No cringing, no embarrassment, no apology. He said it like it was the most natural thing in the world. So two things happened. One, I was confronted by the fact that my seminary professor says he loves his family more than he loves Jesus. And I'd known him for a long time, and he had definitely before this been on my loving Jesus more list. And two, I felt tremendous relief knowing that in my heart I loved my kids more than I loved Jesus too. If it's good enough for a seminary professor, it was good enough for me. And it was good enough for me for a while. But then some things began to become clear to me. Now, I'm not going to share my whole transformation with you, but I'm going to share enough of it that I think you will see what it means to love blank more than Jesus. I want to go back to the scripture from this morning. The Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus. Why do your disciples break the tradition? And I described that. I mean, this is a serious tradition about washing before, ceremonial washing before eating. And he answered them, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and your mother, and you say that whoever tells father or mother whatever support you might have had from me is given to God. I mean, it's just, okay, you see what they're doing here? They're getting him on the tradition. You're breaking the tradition. And he said, you're breaking the rule of love for the sake of your tradition. For example, instead of caring for your parents, you're saying to your parents, what I would have given you for support, I'm giving to the church. I'm giving to the synagogue. I'm giving to God. Jesus had a problem with that. So he said, for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. You hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now we're getting somewhere. My friends who love Jesus, they hug people who are hurting. They drop an HEB gift card in someone's mailbox. They show up for a kid's soccer game, or they drive an elder person to church. What they don't do, or hardly ever do, is honor Jesus only with their lips. They don't tell me how much they love God or how much they love Jesus. They just go around loving people. And what we often forget is that Jesus is very clear in the scriptures that he wants that. Don't honor me with your lips and then mistreat people. Now, I'm not saying that our study doesn't matter, that our prayers or our worship or even our occasional witness in which we speak of our love for God, I'm not saying that that doesn't matter. But I am reminding us that words are cheap to God, to Jesus, and to people. So I want to walk you through this morning my evolution of this I love blank more than Jesus dilemma in a way that I hope will speak to some of you and comfort many of you. Because I'm thinking that some of you are wondering too, what do I love more? So I'm going to use some quotes from some of the theological mentors I respect the most, because that's what head people do. But stay with me. So first, what do I do about the fact that I will never meet Jesus in person, in the flesh? Never hear his laugh, cook him dinner, sit beside him at church. Henry Nouwen says, the love that comes to you in particular, concrete, human friendships, and that awakened your dormant desire to be completely and unconditionally loved, was real and authentic. He's writing this to himself. He's reminding himself of this. It does not have to be denied as dangerous and idolatrous. A love that comes to you through human beings is true, God-given love, and needs to be celebrated as such. Be grateful for it, and see it as what enabled you to open yourself to God's love. Very few people actually love us unconditionally, but some get so close. Some help us get over past hurts. Some people help us understand what a father's love might be like, or a mother's love might be like, or a spouse's love might be like, when all we've seen is relationships that hurt. Be grateful for those concrete human relationships now and said, they have awakened your desire to be completely and unconditionally loved. They have let you have a taste of what God's love is like. That's good. But there's still a bit of discomfort with, okay, but I'm still loving people more than I'm loving God, right? So this from C.S. Lewis. Now, this is a long one. Stay with me. It remains, and remember, C.S. Lewis was writing a long time ago, and this is like, so let's stay with it. It remains certainly true that all natural loves can be inordinate. Don't worry if you don't know what inordinate means, because he explains it. Inordinate does not mean insufficiently cautious, nor does it mean too big. It is not a quantitative term. It is probably, listen to this, it is probably impossible to love any human being simply too much. Awesome. We may love them, we may love them too much in proportion to our love for God. But it is the smallness of our love for God, not the greatness of our love for people, that constitutes the inordinacy. But even this must be refined upon, of course, it's C.S. Lewis. Otherwise, we shall trouble some who are very much on the right road, but alarmed because they cannot feel towards God so warm a sensible emotion as they feel for the earthly beloved. So people worry about this, right? That they can't feel as warmly, as much love for God as they do towards these earthly people. We must pray that this gift should be given us. But the question whether we are loving God or the earthly beloveds more is not, so far as concerns our Christian duty, a question about the comparative intensity of two feelings. It's not about the intensity of loving the people here and God. This is the kicker. The real question is, which, when the alternative comes, do you serve or choose or put first? To which claim does your will in the last resort yield? Your will. To which does your will yield? Okay, now I'm going to take it up a notch. Tough introspection. A poem from Rumi. There's no love in me without your being. No breath without that. I once thought I could give up this longing, then thought again, but I couldn't continue being human. Hold it right there, Marilyn. There's no love in me without your being, no breath without that. I once thought I could give up this longing, then thought again, but I couldn't continue being human. Wouldn't that be awesome in a Valentine? But that's a Valentine to God. I once thought, God, that I could give up this longing for you. But without your being, God, there is no love in me. Now, a comment upon that. Every serious person can understand that no human being can or ought to still the longing that Rumi speaks of. Wow. No person can ever be God for another. And the question arises, how much of what we call love is the attempt to be God for another, or to make the other into God for ourselves? I don't want to spend too much time there because, yeah, that's a tough one. And then, finally, there is the hope of loving people and God well, because God loves us so well. And if anything, Jesus showed us how to love God, who was not there in the flesh, or was there in the flesh, but you know, that makes your head spin, right? I will love you like God, because of God, mighted by the power of God. I will stop expecting your love, demanding your love, trading for your love, gaming for your love to the people in my life that I love. I will simply love. God risked God's self on me. I will risk myself on you. And together, we will learn to love. And perhaps then, and only then, understand this gravity that drew God unto us. I don't want to mess with you, but I'm going to end by giving you a little grammar lesson. And Harriet, if you're watching, this is for you. I love blank more than Jesus. The title of my sermon does not mean I love pizza or my spouse or the Longhorns more than I love Jesus. Do you remember your grammar? There are words left off, right? There's an ellipsis there. It means I love pizza or my spouse or the Longhorns more than Jesus loves me. It means I love blank more than Jesus loves me. I love this person more than Jesus loves me, more than God loves me. And if you heard nothing else today, hear this. No matter how out of balance you get, no matter how often you mess it up, no matter how often you fail the people you love, or you fail God, that will never happen. There is no love greater than God's love for you. Amen.